church say amen. The blood still waits. Glory. Thank you. Still works. Chapter 2. 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Evidence that the blood still works.
Oh, from day to day.
The scripture. 2nd chapter of 1 Peter. Verse 9. Somebody say, you did that last week. A bit to differ you, we have more. Chapter 2, 1 Peter, verse 9. The Holy Grid, the Grappa Logos, says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained Helios. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may go by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God bless you. Thank you for your kindness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Question is, as the grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our God shall stand forever. The question is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are?
Yes, sir.
To begin with, my brethren and my sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers, and saints of God,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As we gleam and gaze into this picture of righteous living, we have to ask some questions. Who is Peter talking to? Why is he talking to them?
Yeah.
What might Peter hope to accomplish by talking to them?
Come on.
Number one, Peter is talking to the dispersed Christians, the Jewish Christians that are driven out of Jerusalem and scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, and Bithynia. Number two, Peter has just finished talking about laying some stuff aside. Y'all didn't say amen right there.
Amen.
And if you want the word of God not to be a stumbling rock of offense to you, the Bible tells us that in chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, and reminding the church that is scattered abroad, that they have been changed.
Yeah.
Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are?
Do you know who you are?
Because the Bible tells us that you are not like you used to be. For you have been chosen by God himself. Priestesses of the King Jesus. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. And all this so that you may show others how God called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Listen to me. If your life does not show that a change has occurred, then you have not truly been converted. Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are? This is a perfect time to introduce one of the many events that definitely have shaped Peter's theological thinking, solidified his conversion, and optimized his Great Commission movement. Somebody say, preach, Ray. Or repeat it again, because that was good. They got some things that shaped Peter's way of thinking. First, what shaped his theological thinking. Second, what solidified his conversion. And then third, what optimized his Great Commission movement. Something you got to get. To make you start living up to your creed, to living up what God has in you, God fixed some things for you to do. Are you with me here? Well, let me just run through one of the things that I think that was pivotal in his life. In John chapter 21, Jesus deals with Peter. Can I tell you a true story? Y'all listening? Okay. This is a definite game changer. Tell your neighbor it's a game changer. The story goes like this. This is what happened according to St. John in chapter 1. John said, after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, me and Peter and Thomas, the twins, Nathaniel, my brother James, and two more disciples were gathered together. Peter said, well, that's it, boys. I mean, Jesus is not coming back, and it was fun while it lasted, but I'm going back to fishing. And Jesus is gone on to glory. The Bible says, if you look up in John 21, I'm talking straight from it, they went fishing and didn't catch nothing. Tell your neighbor, didn't catch nothing. They fished all night long. And just about the break of dawn, the Bible tells me that they saw a figure on the shoreline, but they couldn't make out who he was. They heard a voice that said, hey, boys, y'all caught anything? They said, no, we didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. When you cast it on the right side of the boat, everything gonna change. Can I tell somebody, if you get on the right team, everything gonna change? The Bible says they caught 153 different species of fishes. Are y'all with me here? And then the Bible said, then they recognized who Jesus was. Isn't that funny how after God gets you straight from where you've been in your dilemma, then you recognize who God is? The Bible said Peter put on his coat and jumped in the water and started swimming to Jesus. And Jesus had already had some piping hot fish fried and some buttermilk biscuits heating up. Y'all
y'all read the scriptures right there. He had the fish gone and he had breakfast ready. Jesus had everything ready. He had everything prepared. Tell your neighbor, he got it ready. He got you ready. You ain't saying it. Say, he got you ready. He got you ready. God got a blessing for you. Then the Bible says that Jesus begins a discourse with Peter. He says, after the Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He said, well, feed my lambs. Lambs in the Greek vernacular is ornion. Everybody say ornion. That means feed my young saints. Do I have a witness here? Make sure the children always got a place. Y'all ain't saying amen. Jesus said for the second time, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord, I love you. And then he said, well, then feed my sheep. Feed my senior citizens. Take care of the ones that need taken care of. And you know, that's when the Lord dealt with me with this text. Take care of the ones that the seasoned ones. That's why the Lord made it and put it upon my heart. You got to know that's why he did that. That's why, because the word said, feed my sheep. And he wasn't talking about the babies. He was talking about the seniors. Y'all saying amen? Then the last one, Peter said, the Lord said, do you love me, Peter? And Peter was getting kind of tired with the redundancy. He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know my heart. You know I love you. Now, what this all about? He said, well, feed my little sheep. See, little sheep is the ones that come into the church. They're not necessarily young or old. They just new. Come on, help me, somebody. And they're new and they need good nurturing and they need somebody to leave them alone and bring them to Christ. Don't teach them about the mess. Don't teach them about the meeting. You know the meeting, know the meeting about the meeting, see what the meeting was all about. And then another meeting to see what that meeting was all about. Don't teach them none of that. Just let them know Jesus and the love of God. Are y'all with me here? Then he says in verse 18 of chapter 21, and I'm in the word. Stay in the word with me. Don't you leave it. When you are young, you are able to do as you liked and go wherever you wanted to. But when you are old, you stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go. And that's why it taught me to give seniors their flowers while they can smell them. Come on, help me somebody up in here. You can't smell no flowers after you dead and gone. You don't know nothing about nobody honoring you after you gone. I'm talking about you love me after I'm gone. Love me now. Tell you neighbor, love me now. Don't go and tell the one that might not be loving you right. Tell them, love me now. Don't wait till I die talking about I'm all that good. Love me now. Yeah. Treat me bad all my life. Then talk about you love me after I'm dead. Yeah. Love me now. Yeah. You ain't gonna know nothing. Once you dead, you ain't gonna know nothing. John is a true story. And it speaks to your heart, doesn't it? Yes. Point one. What was the motivation for teaching that Peter had to give to the exiled Jewish people scattered abroad? Point one, what was the teaching? Now, I just gave you the lesson. Now, what was the teaching? What was the motivation for the teaching that Peter gave to those exiled people? So if you had to write it down, what was the motivation for Peter? And the answer is this. The motivation was his personal encounter with Jesus. Y'all didn't say amen. You got to have personal contact with Jesus. Are y'all with me here? And brothers and sisters, you can't sell me Jesus unless you sold out for Jesus yourself. Do I have a witness here? You got to know that you know that you sure enough know you've been born again. Peter says, I got to teach you that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy
nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
Can I say something to you? You can't teach what you don't know. And you can't leave where you haven't been. Do I have a witness here? You got to experience it. And nobody in here started off no super saint overnight. Look, all of us been, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody been something. You don't want to tell it, but I'll tell it. I ain't always been right. You don't watch me something now, I ain't right now. Then tell your neighbor, you ain't either. Don't tell them. They don't try to act all pious and all sadidi and all up there and the higher upper echelon. No, you wasn't all that. Come on, help me somebody. Prove it, Ray. Prove it. Somebody say prove it. You talk a lot of noise, but prove it. Hear it. Right. I'm going to bring you into the text. Go to verse 10 in the text. And it's going to prove it. It said, which in time past were not even a people. Wow. But now are the people of God. Now you the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter said, show forth praises to God who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, because you know you neither your people, you nor your people wasn't any good. I'm talking about Peter Church now. Tell your neighbor, they wasn't no good. I didn't say they wasn't any good. They wasn't no good. Search the text. They wasn't no good. And I can literally stay on verse 10 for months in on out. When you search the historicity of the, you search the history, you go with the background of Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
They always messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all ain't gonna say amen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna give you the short version today. Can I give you the short version?
Yeah.
Just what you need to know today.
Yeah.
Can I give you the short version?
Yeah.
All right, the short version. Adam messed up when he listened to his wife Eve.
Yeah.
Eve messed up when she listened to the devil.
Yeah.
And as a result, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Come on, say amen.
Yeah.
And the first covenant was established, where God had to tell Eve some things and Adam some things. And he says in Genesis 3 and 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This spoke about Christ as the Messiah from the beginning. And what I found out about God is that God has been establishing his covenant with every generation that has come in, and all of them broke fellowship with God. Y'all ain't saying amen. You don't think that you're a unique crowd all in your own, do you? You know that long in time of biblical antiquity, they've been messing up. And God been bringing them back. And God been restoring them. Check the record, if you will, from Adam to Abraham, from Isaac to Isaiah, from Jacob to Jeremiah, from David to Daniel, from Joseph to Jesus. They all fell out of fellowship with God. So when Peter is saying in verse 10, which in time past, y'all see that in the word? Which in time past were not a people. Y'all see that? Are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained what, y'all?
Mercy.
He's giving a history lesson. And the reason he's giving a history lesson and why this history lesson is vital to us is because it is the vehicle that declares our victory before we vamoose to the finish line. If you don't recognize your past, then it's hard for you to have some significance or some importance or some substance.
to your future. I know Leroy Banks and Ophelia Banks, great saints of God, raised me to be in church all my life. I know that my grandfather, great-grandfather, was the founder and pastor of our church. Say amen. I know my uncle on the other side, on the Allen side, been pastoring over 60 years. Come on, help me. I got cousins on both sides of the family, been preachers for a long time. I know who I am. Question is, do you know who you are? You got to know who you are. See, when you know who you are, can't nobody shake you up. Y'all ain't saying amen. Shake you up with an amen here or no amen there. They ain't got nothing to do with it. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? Peter is telling his churches that you all come from the bottom, but now you are considered the top. So act like. Tell your neighbor, act like it. I'm staying in the word now. Don't go from the word. Stay in the word. Peter says, not only act like it, but point three, I'm begging you to act right. I'm begging you to act right. Please write that down. I'm begging you. And here it is in verse 11. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, beg you, that you as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Peter says, please stop living like the world. Stop! Stop living like the world. Walked in the gas station this morning. Had on my leather coat and my t-shirt, and I had my leather flipped all the way up to the top, and I had on my Southern baseball cap, because I had my hair with the rapper dude. The little girl said, Red, it's time for you to go to church, ain't it? You don't look right, Red. I said, no, baby, my robe in the car. I don't want to put my white robe on. I'm going to put the black robe on, but I don't want to put my white robe on in the car. I don't want it to get dirty at all. She said, oh. I said, I know you. Every Sunday morning, you right. In other words, people looking at how you live. Are y'all with me here? They got to see that you live for God, not what you say. You can say anything you want. They want to know how you live. Y'all going to help me after a while. Peter says, be careful, verse 12, be careful how you behave among the unsaved neighbors. For then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. People are watching you every day. Sometimes the only Bible they read is the life you live. Come on, help me, somebody. Peter said they're watching you. And I'm saying in my own life, people are watching me. And they're watching the behavior of the Christian community. Do I have a witness here? Jesus said in John 15 and 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Then he tells you something else, and he said, I demand that you love each other. Come on, help me, somebody. He said, for you get enough hate from the world, but then if the world hated you, it hated me first. He said, the world will love you if you belong to them. You got to be careful if everybody loves you, don't you? He said, but you don't belong to them because I chose you to come out of the world, so the world gonna hate you. Tell your neighbor you got some haters. You go automatically. And then what's worse, you got some haters in the church. You wish it was just the world hating you, but you got haters in the church. And he says in John, y'all don't like me today, that's all. He said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me.
And then he says, live within my love. Did y'all get that? Live within my love. Point four, live within God's love and obey civil authority. Y'all with me here? Prove it, Red, prove it. Point four. Live within God's love and obey civil authority. The Bible says in verse 13, submit yourselves to everyone, every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What does all that mean? Peter said in the old Bible days, in biblical antiquity, there is no crime in being a decent, law-abiding Christian citizen. In fact, Christ demands it. Y'all with me here?
Yeah.
Now, after having read many commentaries this week and books, this is what Pastor Allen said. Pastor Allen said in 2013 that it's a crime not to be decent and not to be a productive, law-abiding American citizen. Because Jesus said that's what we ought to do. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Y'all ain't saying amen right there. Anybody want to change that theory? That's right, isn't it? Well, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, give God a hand of praise for living good, living decent, living right, and living holy. Verse 17, show respect for everyone. Love Christians everywhere. Fear God and honor the government. Servants, you must respect your masters and do whatever they tell you. Not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are tough and cruel. We know how to set it off, don't we? But Peter says to his church in verse 19, praise the Lord, even if you are punished for doing right. Did y'all get that? You know, the Lord been working on me. He's been working on me. I'm learning to do that, even do right, even when people doing you wrong. Well, he done worked on me. Worked on me a whole lot. And I thank God for that. I really do. I thank God for that. I have a lot more, but I'm going to spare you today. Or do y'all want the rest? Give you the rest? Somebody said no. They said it quick, too. Do I spare you or do I give you the rest? I hear the sister say, come on, give us the rest. Point five. Woo. It's all good to suffer for Jesus. It's all good to suffer for Jesus.
Amen.
Peter was speaking from personal experience, praising God even when you haven't done anything wrong.
All right.
Peter's experience is priceless. And Acts 5 and 40 tells us about it. Acts 5 and 40 says the council accepted his advice, called in the disciples, the apostles, had them beaten, and then told them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. And finally, let them go. They left the council chamber rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. Tell your neighbor, it's all right to suffer for Jesus. It's all right to suffer for Jesus. It may not be pleasant. You may not like it. You may not want it.
You may not even deserve it, says Kim. But it's all right. Brother Dan, it's all right to suffer for Jesus when you haven't done wrong. And you know you haven't done wrong. You did what God told you to do. And you're suffering and you're going through hell and high water and things are, oh, wait a minute, how? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Do I have a witness here? Because there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing of his word. Oh, it sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweet his name I know.
Today.